This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast that's all about the sights, the sounds, the scenes. Ooh, and this week, we're going to go over some sights, sounds, and scenes, spoiler-free, on Morbius with Ralph Potts. I have that interview coming up in a minute, in a few minutes. But we break it down. Again, spoiler-free, I have my opinion of the movie. Ralph has his opinion of the movie. Can't wait for you guys to hear it. We had a great conversation, as always, and I've said it in the podcast. I thank you to Ralph. I mean, it was last minute. Last minute for him, and like he's a very busy guy, and he crammed it in. So thank you for coming on. I'm gonna lead with that. I'll probably end the show with that. But I can't wait for you guys to hear that interview. And we sit down and talk about Morbius and what a great home theater experience it is. You'll have to hear what he thinks. And there's a giveaway. You're going to have to pay attention. But hey, in my home theater this week, I'm going to give you a little bit of stuff that I've been doing. I finished Rise of Skywalker this week. I just really enjoyed that movie. I know some people don't like it. It's a love-hate thing, I guess. I really enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed the sights, the sounds, the scenes. I think as far as Star Wars goes, it's the culmination of the sights and the sounds, because the way it was shot, it looks so good. There's so much contrast. There's so much vibrancy between the lightsabers, the colors. I mean, just look at the movie poster, the blues to the reds, and you've got all the dyads or the dichotomies, you know, whatever you want to call it, right? It's fantastic. I want to break that one down someday. I believe Tom Andrew and I are going to break that one down, if I remember correctly, because I think he doesn't like it. So we're going to have some fun with that someday. But I really enjoyed it. By the end of that movie, it makes me want to watch the saga all over again. And going through that saga because of Obi-Wan, we had episode 5 drop this week. I'll be spoiler free for that. But again, another great home theater experience. But I would say Obi-Wan episode 5, I think it's the first time I was like, whoa, this is kind of like Mandalorian HDR here. It wasn't as good. It's a very dark episode. There's a lot of dark scenes. You'll know what I mean when you see it, if you haven't seen it already. I felt like that's where we got into some of the Mandalorian stuff, where it seemed a little muted at times. Whereas early on in this season, earlier episodes, I thought the HDR was like the black levels were really deep. Really nice. Didn't feel that in episode 5, but it still did have great sound and great experience in the room. The Boys season 4, I'm plugging away on that, all caught up on that. If you can stomach it, whoo, they are they're literally trying to get you to get up and leave your own room, but with the stuff that they're putting on film in this, but I wish it had Atmos. It doesn't, but it's still a really good sounding track. I mean, it is loud. Dare I say, I actually back this one off 5 dB. I go to -5 dB because it's a little bright. It's a little loud for me. Maybe because I watch it in the morning. It's the first thing I hear when I get up. But there were times that I was just like, oh, wow, that was painful. Didn't like it. So I backed it off to minus. Few things do that, but I think that has more to do with Amazon than it does anything else. All right, let me get this out of the way before I get into some other stuff. But I went to the movies and saw Jurassic World Dominion. That's all I'll say about that. I did not like it. I thought the story was convoluted. I thought that this is one I was just, there's too many storylines going on here. In the middle of the movie, I leaned over to my wife and said, I will buy it to complete my collection. I will watch it in my theater for the sights, the sounds, and the scenes, but I'm going to do it in protest. I didn't like it at all. And I love the first Jurassic Park. Love the first movie, love everything about it. I love that the experience of it in the theater. I love the messaging of that. Jurassic World Dominion, I actually liked the ending because it almost felt like they did a little bit there. I like the ending of the movie. I didn't like how they didn't wrap it all up. Like, I thought it was all going to get wrapped up, but it didn't. But that's on me, not them. But I, as a whole, I thought Dominion was not good. There's some great home theater experiences in there, but they're too far apart. It's a longer movie, and I think they needed more of that. I heard somebody break it down. I think it was hashtag dork, if I remember right. And they said it was like 2.5 hours long, and maybe if it was 2 hours long, it would have been a better movie, something like that. I can't remember, but the home theater experiences were too far apart for me to say that this is going to be a great home theater experience movie. So that's my take on that one, but I will watch it. I will buy it at home. Of course, I'll probably buy it multiple times for the podcast, but that's me. Movies and scenes this week that I've done. I messed around with 300, grabbed that on the Kaleidoscape, wanted to see some of the scenes, and they look fantastic. Some of the scenes that I commented on when I broke it down for the podcast, and one scene in particular that I absolutely loved. And I don't remember what it was offhand, but it was a close up of Leonidas's face. And it was kind of the bedroom scene when he was talking to his wife. And it was like kind of monochromatic the way it was shot, and the high contrast and the cheeks on the side of his face and the detail even more so on the Kaleidoscape, honestly, because I remember when I was breaking it down before, and the my Panasonic, watching it on disc, and I was comparing it to the Zapiti, and I felt like the Zapiti had a better picture, and I believe I even say that in that podcast, and it was because the Zapiti was sending the full signal through, and the Panasonic is, you know, trying to optimize it for my projector, so it's kind of squelching it a little, you know, suppressing or, you know, compressing the picture quality for the projector. Well, when the Zapiti sent it through, it was sending through the full, you know, file or full information, and the projector was handling that scene perfectly well, and I benefited from it, so I really enjoyed it. Getting it with the Kaleidoscape, it ramped it up even more, and I compared that scene to the disc. Now my Panasonic is sending through the full image, and it is that much, it's that good. It's the Kaleidoscape looks that much. And when I say that, it please don't misunderstand me, which I know I do it to myself in the way I say it's like so much better. It's like a 1% difference or a 0.5% difference. But to me, when I see that difference, I'm like, yes, I'm excited about it. So I'm not saying you're going from like 80% to like 100%, or it's not that big of a difference. But it was noticeable to me, and I do get excited about that. So, Braveheart, I bought that on Kaleidoscape because, I'm sorry, I forget who it was on Twitter. We were talking about it. He hadn't seen it before. And I said, Twisting Ropes. Well, that made me go and buy it. I bought it on Kaleidoscape, and I went right to that scene, and it is everything that I remember. I haven't seen that in, I think I saw the 4K a couple of years ago, whenever it came out. I haven't seen it since then, but it actually, every time I hear that scene, it brings me back to my living room apartment and watching it on a Laserdisc and those twisting ropes. And that was a demo scene for me. For people to come over, and I'd throw the Laserdisc in, and I'd be like, and you'd hear, oh, it's chilling hearing that, if you know what I'm talking about. And I also watched the bank robbery scene from Heat. Whew. Yeah, it's really, really nice. Watched that on the Kaleidoscape as well. And it's really good scene. But it is like when Todd and I were talking about Ambulance, and I was like, that bank robbery scene in Ambulance, it's like Heat on steroids. It is, because Heat is so, if you went back and forth between the two, like Heat would be like, you'd be like, wow, it sounds kind of muted. And it kind of does, but it's just because like Ambulance is so ramped up that it's so much more dynamic. It's like there's deeper bass and higher highs and blah, 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 all of this going on. It's, you know, it's just an amazing roller coaster ride where Heat is like a work of art. It's like that scene. It's like choreographed the way they come through the streets and the sounds, and you hear them on the side and you hear it over here. It's just such a, I mean, it is a better movie too. But yeah, really enjoyed that. I also wanted to say, oh, thank you to everybody for just stuff like this. Sending me the experiences that you're having. And it's making me, that's one of the dangerous things about my Kaleidoscape is I'm like, oh, I haven't seen that in a while. Bought it. Oh crap. I'm running out of space here. But I appreciate that. I would love that. And that's what I'm trying to get to you guys. I want like be able to talk to you guys and say like, hey, this is what I'm experiencing. And hopefully it triggers something in you. So we're going to do a little bit more of that. But thank you for everybody contacting me on Twitter and just tagging me. And I am at the point that I wish I could mention everybody, but it's that difficult. Like I said, the Braveheart situation, I'm sorry, I forget who it was because I'm sitting here and I don't want to, I'm sorry, but thank you everybody. Keep sending them because I comment or I'll like it or retweet it. And then other people are commenting on it and you know, I'll bring up what, you know, whatever triggers when I sit down to record the podcast. So thank you very much. Keep that up. It's a lot of fun and it's exposing me to some of my older experiences that I've had and some new ones too, as well. Like some of the other movies that I've bought that I haven't watched yet, but I've bought a bunch of movies I hadn't seen before and hadn't heard before. Like, was it Overlord? That one right there. Fantastic. Thank you, everybody. I got a message on Instagram. I'm lucky I saw it. I don't do a lot on Instagram. I did start the HT, you know, clips over there, but Nathan messaged me over there and he says, this might be a dumb question. I'd like to interject. No such thing. He says, but what is your opinion on needing to add a Lumigen Radiance processor to the new Sony VW6000ES that I have ordered? Wouldn't adding the Lumigen completely take away all the Sony style tone mapping and their object based HDR remastering? And he also says, and I love, love, love my Kaleidoscape. Glad you love your Kaleidoscape, Nathan. I replied to him that, I don't think Lumigen would take away the Sony style. That's because you can tailor your Lumigen to whatever you want. Really, it's you can have it mimic that style or whatever style you're looking for. That's why I had mine calibrated by my projector guy. But what I wanted to elaborate on, and I didn't really get to say this to him in my little reply, is that when it comes to a Lumigen, I love my Lumigen. For me, but if I was going to buy a new projector, and I am someday, I don't think I am going to start out with the Lumigen attached to it, even though I already own one. Okay. I want to experience the projector, see what its capabilities are, especially if I'm getting a new one, like the Sony's, or if I get a JVC, and I want to see how that tone mapping works. Is it better? I want to experience that. So I would do that, and I would have Jim out, calibrate my projector, and then I'd have him out probably 3-4 months later. Let's add the Lumigen in now and see if there's an upgrade, something like that. My point is, if you don't already own a Lumigen or a video processor of any kind, and you're buying a new projector, I wouldn't add a Lumigen right away. Even if you had the funds, a lot of people wait just because of, you know, budget, and that's tough to do, but I wouldn't add it right away. I would experience that projector for what it is, get it calibrated, to the best, you know, whether you do it yourself or you hire a professional. I recommend the professional, takes all questions out of it so that you know you're getting the best possible that you can get. And then experience that for like 4 to 6 months, watching a bunch of movies. And then if you start to notice like, oh man, I want to get a little bit better here, a little bit better there. Maybe you don't see anything you want to get better at. And you're like, you're just blown away by the picture. And you're like, huh, all right, that's what I want. But get to know the projector and the picture and experience it over time before you go and add that. I mean, a video processor is an expensive investment into your system. I would never want somebody bringing that in and not knowing what they're getting for their money. And if you know your system, then you add that in, you'll be able to understand why you're justifying that amount of money for this system. I had experienced my projector for years, professionally calibrated multiple times before I added the Lumigen in. When I say multiple times, I had it professionally calibrated, and then he comes back like every year just to tweak it to make sure everything's nice. And if I replace a bulb, I have him come out and, you know, retweak it again. So adding the Lumigen in, you're like, oh, okay, now I can see the difference. So I know what benefit I'm getting from that. None of these things are must-haves. They're all like preference. And that preference, I think, comes from experience of seeing like, I want to get a little bit more out of my image here. Something that I want to get. It's not something that we should be doing just because somebody said, hey, this is great. And I know that this is what makes it great. Experience this stuff. That's the idea. And that's like, I say that at the same time, and it's like, why do I decide on a projector over one? I take a professional, like somebody like Jim, my projector guy, I take his opinion and go, this is what I'm going to, okay, that's something that I will do in that way, because I don't have time to experience a JVC projector over a Sony projector. Because to get to know something, in my opinion, it takes months. You can't just go into a room and just experience it and say, oh, wow, okay, yeah, clearly this one's better than that one or whatever the difference is. I think it takes months to experience something over time and the consistency that product offers. So in a case like a projector where there's the Sony's versus the JVC's, I will do something like, okay, Jim, which one of these? They're both great projectors. Which one do you recommend? And then I'll go with that. And I will live with that because I've trusted him for over 20 years now. And I know I'm getting a good image. So that's my compromise right there on something like that. But as this podcast goes, I'd love to do a shootout someday. I'd love to get a JVC in here and experience it for a little while and compare it to my Sony and do all of that fun stuff that hopefully this podcast can provide something like that. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows where we're going? Because I didn't think I'd be where I am today. So Nathan, thanks for the question. No such thing as a dumb question, but thank you for that question because it sparked off all of those thoughts that I just relayed to you guys. So, thank you very much. Let's get to that interview. We're going to talk Morbius in 4K. There's a giveaway. And I'm going to sit down with Ralph right now. Ralph, thank you so much for doing this on short notice. Really appreciate it.
I don't know, man. You know, you keep dragging me on this show every time I turn around. No.
I read your review and I couldn't resist. I was still in the middle of reading your review for Morbius, and I was like, oh my God, you hit all the notes I was thinking. And when somebody of your stature, Ralph, comes out and says all the things that I'm thinking, it just justifies it. Like, no, but we all do that. That's what people, when we listen to the same stuff over and over, right? And we want to hear like what we're learning in home theater. And I'm sure you did that early on. I did it early on. My listeners come on and, or they comment to me like, hey, you're thinking exactly what I'm thinking. I like that. And it, it makes you feel better about your opinions. And it,
sure.
And of course, so I'm reading your review, and this movie has been brutally panned at times. And I am of the opinion, and this is why I want to have you, I haven't mentioned this to you yet, but I'm of the opinion that this is in the running for a home theater experience of the year. How do you feel about that? Be honest. You can argue with me. That's what I want. We're going to get into it. We're going to break down the movie itself, just like you did a little bit. And also the sound and, you know, picture and stuff. But overall, what would you say?
Well, I would say that it's possible. There's been a lot of, so far this year, there's been a lot of decent home theater experiences that have come to Blu-ray and Ultra HD Blu-ray, Dolby Atmos, etc. So I would say that this one is, it's among the more decent audio tracks. You know, in terms of video, it's in the upper echelon. I don't know that I would say that I was, you know, blown away by it, but it looks very, very good.
I think the reason I really kind of was blown away by the video, because I feel like it's really good to me for a different reason than, say, the Batman. Right, which we love the HDR on, love the video on that, and to see, but it's a different field. You have different black levels, I felt like, in the Batman than you do here.
Right.
And
I think,
go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to say, I think that the Batman went for this moody visual aesthetic, and I think that it successfully did that, especially in the transitional elements within the video. It was very, very good at that. Whereas I think that Morpheus wasn't so much striving for the same moody, you know, visual aesthetics as the Batman, but it had a moody atmosphere, I would say, is a fair way to put it.
Yeah, it gave you like Well, let's get into the picture. For instance, I want to do this entirely spoiler free because I know a lot of people aren't very high on this movie. And my purpose here is to, for home theater fans, I think it's almost a must. I think it is a must own. As you said, maybe not movie or home theater experience of the year, but I think as a home theater fan, if you don't own this, I mean, for picture and for sound, I think there's a lot to be enjoyed here. And let's start with the picture. And the one of the obvious things to me is that there's an effect they use for, like, I think it's his vision or his hearing or something, but they put that color coming off the objects as they fly, right?
Right. It's like the bat radar or the echo, whatever it is that he uses to bounce off things to be able to hear things that are far away or whatever. Yeah.
But it almost looks like colors of smoke coming off of these objects. And I just felt like the HDR looked so nice. I mean, the contrast was so great and those were so vibrant. Whereas I felt like in the Batman, like you said, it's moody. It didn't feel like the Batman was, I don't know if I'd use the word vibrant. Do you know what I mean by that? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. I think with the Batman, you had kind of this singular visual aesthetic, you know, where it kind of stayed consistent over the course of the movie. Hmm. Whereas with this one, you know, you have, I said, you know, I told myself I wasn't going to say, you know, a lot.
Why?
So when I say, you know, every time I say, you know, you put your finger up, DJ.
Okay.
I think here, what we have are two distinct visual styles. And I think that's intentional.
Yes.
And I think that's where, you know, you have these moments in this movie where you kind of, you're drawn to that. Whereas with the Batman, it was a much, it was something that was more in the background, if present at all, you know? So I think that is what you're alluding to.
Yeah. Yeah. And basically what I'm trying to get at is I think they're both fantastic in different ways, right? The way the colors pop off the screen in Morbius is just really helps make that, like that HDR really helps that. Now, did you do a Blu-ray review? I read your 4K review. Did you do a Blu-ray review on this? Did you look at it in standard? How was the difference to you there?
I think that with the Blu-ray versus the Ultra HD Blu-ray presentation, those visuals, those highlights are there. I saw the finger. Those highlights are there.
For those listening on a podcast, it was just a pointer finger. I'm not giving him the finger.
No, he's not giving me the finger. It's just a pointer finger. Ralph, you said you know you got.
There is video evidence on YouTube.
Yeah. So with the 1080p version, you're seeing, you know, those highlights are not quite as stark as they are on the 4K presentation. The color levels are a bit, I don't want to say reserved, but again, not as vibrant or vivid as they are on the, you know, the Blu-ray versus the 4K version. They're not as vibrant or vivid as they are on the 4K version. So, yeah. So I did both, and both look great. Standard definition, you know, versus, or I'm sorry, SDR versus HDR. There are some contrast there, but both looks pretty stunning.
Yeah. And I think that lends to the fact that it is such a high contrast movie too, with the colors being, even in, you know, SDR, it's still, you've got bright colors, just not as bright as we're getting with the HDR. As far as like a couple of the scenes that I really, really enjoyed were, for HDR is at 42 minutes and 30 seconds. I know this is spoiler free, but there's a scene where you feel like all of a sudden the black levels went away, and you'll know the scene I'm talking about as I describe it, but the camera pulls away and you realize you're actually looking through a glass window from the hallway in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that scene that I'm talking about? And
I do.
Somebody's in a room. She is being talked to. And I felt like the first time I watched it, I'd seen it in the theater, but then the first time I watched it at home, I was like, what happened to the black levels here? And the shot was like frozen. Like the camera was still. But then as the camera started to move, you started to see that reflection. It actually moved on your screen as well. And you realize, oh, that's not bad HDR. That's actually, we're looking through a window here. And then the camera, I believe, went inside the room. And then you got those great black levels again, the deep black levels again. And it's stuff like that that I think, those are the little details that I think where HDR really kind of, pun intended, shines.
I would agree with that. And I think the combination, too, with the higher resolution that you get, and I want to say this, I don't want to say the smoother imagery, but the, because sometimes, you know, 1080p, you know, in terms of its delineation can be a little problematic with scenes like that, where, you know, they're more prone to being troublesome or having trouble resolving some of those finer interstitials within the image. But with 4K, you like that, huh?
Yeah.
But with 4K, that is not an issue. So those things kind of are bled away, and you're just left with, you know, all the details that you're seeing there. And sometimes they're, you know, they can be captivating, especially in a moment like that, where you're first kind of like looking, and now you've come to the realization that what you're seeing is actually what was intended. And that was the intention of that particular scene.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it just, I thought, like I said, it's obviously we all go to the bright lights and the bright colors or a sunset when we're talking about HDR. But I think those are the types of things. I like to get into the little details that maybe sometimes people miss those and you'd be like, and that's why I put out the timestamps when I can. Sure. Let's get into, all right, we did the picture. Let's talk about the movie itself. All right. The story. Before we get to the sound and all that, but I really liked your breakdown of it. Why don't you let everybody know a little bit of it, how you felt about it?
I felt as an origin story, it could have been better. When you have a character like this that you're introducing, and that's essentially what this was. This was an introduction. You really need to have. Because maybe there's a lot of people that have never heard of Morbius. They're not familiar with him. Here's a Marvel character. Okay, here's another Marvel character. So you have people who've never heard of him. He's now being introduced. We want to know what we need that foundation to be able to kind of springboard into what's now becoming the story of what this guy is going to become. Because these movies, basically, these types of stories are designed to set the character up for what's going to happen later. I felt that here, the story just, it didn't have enough of a foundation to completely connect us to Michael Morbius, other than a little bit that we get on why he's the way he is, what his motivations are. We did get some of that, but the other people that might have been integral to him or important to him, what he needed prior to becoming, the Morbius, those things were kind of skimmed over. So I thought that was a problem. I also felt that the character in and of itself, I mean, I like Jared Leto. Jared Leto was fine in terms of portraying the character, but he didn't have a lot to work with. So then we have these ancillary characters that are kind of revolving around him. And a lot of them felt quite shallow to me, which I also thought was a problem. Because we see later in the movie that at least one of them, we haven't heard the last of. So, I was a little disappointed with that. There were parts of the story that I felt that they were just kind of tossed in there to provide another element to springboard to something else, but never really got fleshed out.
Never paid off.
Yeah, never paid off. Some of it, it felt like the editing, was a little aggressive because some of it, you'd go from one scene to the next and kind of be like, I wonder where was that going? Or why did, how did he end up here? Or why? So there were things like that. Those were problems that I had with the overall arc of the narrative. My basic breakdown or description of it in my review was that I enjoyed it, but as an origin story, it wasn't really sufficient to me.
It needed a little bit more.
It did need more. You need a couple, at least a couple of hours. I think that movie was like an hour and 40-something minutes. We could have easily pushed that to 15 or 20 minutes longer just to flesh out some more details. That would have been great.
Right.
The last thing, DJ, was... I didn't care for the villain either. I didn't care for the villain, even though, I mean, Morbius is an antihero. Yeah. But he's not the bad guy. So the villain in this story, I don't know. Didn't work for me.
Okay. So he didn't bother me. The villain didn't bother me that much. I thought they sped up a little too much to get him to be the villain, like to introduce him as the villain. It needed a little, and that's one of those things that I think maybe, like you said, could have been fleshed out a little bit. I agree with you on everything about that. But what I find interesting is for a movie that people are saying they don't like, most of the criticism is exactly what you said. And it's like, if you didn't like it, why do you want more of it? right? And I'm not saying you, but that's what people right. are saying. It's like, well, this is, and that's where I feel like it, one of the quotes, I think this is right when I texted you. It's like, it feels more like a missed opportunity than a complete waste of time. And I think
I actually put that in my review too.
It is. That's what, similar. I read it right from your view. I copied it and put it in my note. I'm like, I think a lot of people are thinking of this movie as a complete waste of time, and it's not. It's actually, I think the story is actually enjoyable. You get most of the information about him. You get everything about him. I actually feel like at where Morbius is an anti-hero, I feel like they went too far to hero in this. By the end of the movie, you're like, why would anybody think he's an anti-hero? That was one miss. Okay. Knowing a little bit about the character growing up in comic books and Spider-Man and stuff. So that was, you know, but that didn't bother me. I thought the movie was enjoyable, and it left me wanting more. So that's why I have a hard time when people say like, oh, it's a big waste of time. Not really. Everybody I've talked to is like, when they didn't like it, they're like, oh, I needed more. Well, you know, that doesn't make sense.
Sure. Morbius, to me, is a character that needs another character, kind of that's on his playing field,
mm-hmm.
to coincide with in a film like this, I think. And I don't think that the villain was sufficient at that. Going forward, we don't know what's going to happen, but they alluded to something in the post-credit scene, so mm-hmm. I don't know where that's going to go, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I don't think that they necessarily leaned him too much toward hero, because given the elements in the story, there wasn't a lot to... You know, a lot right. to delineate there. You know, you only had a set number of characters for him to interact with. So, given what he had to deal with and the things that were important to him within the context of the narrative, then I think it pretty much played out the way it needed to. Going into the finale, because yeah. we all knew what was going to happen in the finale. But so going forward, we may see a darker side to Michael if they can come up with something that's a little more, has a little more depth to it. I think we may see some other characters, and I think we're going to see more. I think we're going to see maybe a bit of a darker side to him. Because right now, I think he's trying to figure out who he is, where he fits, what can happen from the cards he's been dealt. So we'll have to see where that all heads. But I didn't necessarily find him to be too good or too bad in this, but just a guy who is kind of being right. set up for something that's going to come later.
Yeah. What I mean by is like, they didn't even, I don't feel like they even hinted at a negative side of to him in this movie. And that's what, so like say in the next movie, he goes to what his character is supposed to, like really is an anti-hero, like he has some evil in him and it's a conflict. It feels like in this movie here, I just feel like it was like, basically, I think it's kind of set up because of the villain. Like you kind of get, I feel like the villain and Michael are set up in a way much like Captain America, the line in Captain America First Avenger, where it's like, it amplifies your personality, right? And the doctor and that wanted a good soldier, a good person, because if you have an evil person, it's just going to amplify that as well. And I feel like that's kind of how they were going with this movie, where Michael was like the good person, and then they show the villain was the person that was kind of, oh, okay, he's not a good person on the inside. And that's how you see what I mean. So it's like, why does Michael later on in later movies, there was no hint that he could go bad other than like you said at the end of, you know, maybe something, I don't know.
Well, I would say that there's a distinct possibility, depending on what they do with the story, that we could see a transition occur.
Right.
I think what we saw in the villain in this movie is the propensity that Michael could have going forward.
Good point.
And that could have been part of having these like polar opposites. In terms of his, in terms of the villain in this story, I don't think that he was necessarily a bad person on the inside. I think, and I'm trying not to give away any spoilers here, right, but I think that he was a person who lived life a certain way. And when he was now provided with this sense of freedom and whatever you want to call it, he then, it changed him. It was something he could not give up.
Right.
And it just, you know, so I don't think that he was necessarily bad, but I think that when he got a taste of this, it just sent him, you know, in the wrong direction. Whereas I think maybe he didn't have a strong, he wasn't as strong a person as Michael, didn't have the ethics that Michael had, whatever you want to say, because right. Michael devoted his life to trying to find a cure and he was helping children, and that's not giving away anything. But
right.
Whereas this other guy kind of lived his life, you know, he was privileged, whatever you want to call it, and so forth and so on. So that was the one thing in his life, I think, that he had was privilege. And when he got a taste of everything else, you know, we know what happened.
Right. Exactly. Do you feel that, and you did, you said this in your article as well. It's like, you said he's like, it's just not very good. The story that is, he's especially held up against other movies like this, right? Do you feel that we're starting to get a little bit spoiled in that maybe 10 years ago, this would have been considered a better movie? Or because we've had so many great comic book movies that our standards are a lot higher now. And that's not a bad thing, but do you feel it suffers from that at all?
Well, unfortunately, it's hard to say.
Right.
You know, but because we've had those experiences already, I really can't answer how it may have held up, you know, 10 years ago. I can't say for sure that this is something where I would be like, oh, yeah, this is really good. So the only thing I can do is compare it to the films that I've seen that I felt were wholly gratifying, better rounded, and the kinds of movies that really draw you in with character, with story, with action, whatever, drama. This one, 10 years ago, hard to say. But I would say, I don't think my feelings would be exponentially different. We, you know, it may have gotten a half a star of a higher rating, you know, 10 yeah. years ago, who knows. But I don't think that my overall impressions of it would be that much different.
Okay, how would you compare it to Iron Man origin story?
Not in the same class. The first Iron Man, that movie, and I think we talked about this the last time I was on your show briefly, but I didn't have high expectations for right. Iron Man. Like I said, I remember thinking, really? Robert Downey Jr.? I was a huge Iron Man
right.
you know, fan as a kid, and Robert Downey Jr., and then I remember thinking, how are they going to do this with the armor, blah, blah, blah. And then they did it. And I was like, this is awesome. I mean, this is fantastic.
Right.
There's one where right from the beginning, they paint a picture. And then they start painting in these even and fine strokes
okay.
that really connect you to Tony Stark. And they did it. It was very clever because there was... And Robert Downey Jr. was the perfect guy for the part because of his ability to be affable, his ability to be the wisecracking guy, but then turn around and be this guy that really cares and, you know, makes a decision that the decisions that he made in the movie. So that one, I think it's one of my favorite Marvel movies just because of how well-rounded and how well-drawn the characters were. You know, the depth of the story, the action, how it's slowly built, you know, and then we see this, all these different you know, iterations of his life as he continues forward, and the things that happened to him over the course of, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So this one compared to Iron Man,
story wise, yeah,
not so much.
Hearing you break it down like that, now let me give you my rudimentary. I'm not as bright. I sit in the room and I enjoy the explosions and the sounds, and that's what I'm about, the sights, the sounds, and the scenes, right? But I do like a good story, and I can appreciate that stuff. But my first, like, overview of the two is I was thinking Morbius is very similar to Iron Man, where it's similar type of villain, you know, good guy, bad guy. There was a love interest sort of kind of blossoming there, kind of had that here. So it's very similar in a way. But then hearing you break it down like that, and it made me see, like, yeah, I see in Iron Man, the story arc of Tony Stark from beginning to end is much better than Michael Morbius's. Honestly, I feel like Morbius, in a way, is like Michael Morbius is kind of flatlined throughout. He doesn't really have an arc here. It's just like he just becomes something and nothing. Right. But we didn't really get a personality. How did that affect him? How did it? So you're right in that way. And it's like, man, yeah, you're right. It's like there's a lot more depth to that movie. And maybe that could be there with Morbius. Maybe it was filmed, like you said. I think Iron Man's over 2 hours, isn't it? It's like 2:10.
Yeah,
I think something like that. So if you gave Morbius another half hour, you could probably flesh a lot of that out.
Yeah, and I mean, he had certainly had an interesting enough backstory
about
the things that brought him to the point that we see in the opening moments of the movie.
Mm.
Just like, you know, Tony Stark. But Tony Stark started out kind of like Michael in terms of starting out as one thing and then becoming something else. But it's what made Tony Stark something else that has the meat on the bone. And for Michael, we don't get a lot of those things that where we see in great detail what happened to Tony Stark in that cave and things that made him go from this, you know, rich kid,
playboy,
when he cares about money, playboy, to someone who's like, I have things I need to change here.
Right.
I have things that and I have the ability to do them, and I'm going to start doing good with my brilliance and my money and my whatever. Whereas with Michael, we don't get a lot of those details. We get a guy who's sick. You know, he's motivated by that. He's brilliant. He's gone through these experiences where he is trying to effect change, and he has effected change. The whole thing with the blood, you know, with the blood. And I'm not giving anything away here, where he came up with the
blood disorder that he has or whatever.
Not that, but he created the fake blood.
Artificial, yeah, or something.
Right. Like. Artificial blood that people have been, you know, using for years. But then, you know, he has this accident or whatever you want to call it. That kind of changes him. And then, like you said, you were right when you say from that point on, the character in terms of who he is and his motivations and the things that he is now looking to do kind of flatlines, because he gets sidetracked with all these things that he now has to deal with because of this villain that they bring into the picture. And then some of the things that happen in the story, some of them like a little silly with the, you know, local law enforcement and all that kind of stuff that went on. It distracted me. So they could have spent another, like we said, 15, 20 minutes kind of giving us a more of a connection to Michael Morbius and helping us to see more of who he really is, to understand what he has the propensity to become, what he, you know, the possibilities that are there. Right now, we're really not sure. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's, you actually opened my eyes to something. I mean, I'm looking at that story in a completely different way now. I still love the movie though. And here's why. He uses bat sonar. Any home theater movie that features bat sonar, you know your room is going to be alive.
It's crazy.
So this is why I think it is in the running. I don't think it's the first one, but I think it's in the conversation for a home theater experience of the year. And it's because of the sound. I have two scenes here. There's one that I'm saving for when I do my breakdown of this movie, and there's a Subway Echo location scene, it's a Subway Echo, I'm sorry, that I've never heard in any other, and I don't want to get into it here, but it was an effect I'd never heard used before in the way they did it. But, before we get to my couple of, scenes, what do you have a favorite scene, and what's your overall thoughts on the sound from this?
Well, I think we've been getting spoiled with some really good home theater, Dolby Atmos home theater experiences. I think Sony, like Warner Brothers, understands what we as enthusiasts look for in a home theater sound mix, whether it's Atmos or whether it's, you know, lossless 5.1, 7.1, whatever. So someone there gets it. This one, the first scene that I remember like being like, okay, that's really cool, is the very first time that he uses the Echo. The very first time that he uses it, he is, I don't remember if he's in a lab or if he's inside somewhere.
Yeah, he's in his lab.
And he uses it for the first time.
With the racquetball.
Yeah, I rewound it back and played it again. It sounded that cool. And it had everything. Mm-hmm. So it had the use of, you know, kind of infrasonics in terms of the bass, but it had, in terms of using the entire room to simulate what it was he was hearing, it was perfect. It was awesome. Yeah, I remember sitting there thinking, that is really, really cool and well done, because there were sounds that were bouncing all around the soundstage.
Yeah.
At the same time. So it totally felt immersive.
Yeah. It teases it too. I've watched that scene so many times, and for people listening, it's not a spoiler, it's at 35 minute mark. But what's fun about it is, and I call it racquetball, because that's one of the things, it's like a racquetball. I'm not sure if it is or not, but it leads up to it with him messing with it a little bit, but then all of a sudden he gets that idea. But then how they bring the sound down too, as he breathes, and then all you hear in your room is his breath. You hear the, and then you'll hear a little bit of a heartbeat, but you can, that low, low bass, that it's just really nice. But then, like you said, as the room comes alive and he starts realizing what he can do, and he puts out that pulse. And one of the things that I liked is, like you said, things are echoing around the room. Not only do you hear the ball bounce around your room, but listen for the trail, the echo of the ball bouncing around. So like you'll hear the ball hit the wall,
sure,
but then you'll hear the echo of that ball. So it's like, that's why you can listen to that scene so many times, is because there's so many little details to it that you're like, oh my God, I didn't even hear that before. And then like the next scene I have is very much like that too. And the picture, the HDR on that was great too. I mean, the color of the books in the background, I think I mentioned that before, but the color of the books in the background, the little, like I said, the smoke coming off of the ball and off of different things, and his echo locate, I mean, the way it works and everything, these are just a couple of scenes. The whole movie is like this, I think.
Right.
It's everything. It's like from beginning to end, it's just the way he does this. It was just really, really, that's why I think it's a must own. you know, because it's like, how do you not want to experience this?
You know, as enthusiasts, we're always looking for that experience that takes you from soup to nuts. So I want it to look good. I want it to sound good. I want it to be completely engaged while I'm watching it, by the sound, by the video. But there's a lot of people who don't just look, who aren't, it's not just enough for them to have that audio video experience. There's people who feel like, I want a good story too. So when you try to, when you say, well, hey, you know, I think that if you're a home theater enthusiast, you just have to have this movie because it looks and sounds great. There are those who feel that way, and there are those who feel like, yeah, but it's a crappy movie, and I'm not gonna, you know, I don't care how good it looks and sounds, I don't want a crappy movie. You know, I'm not gonna buy a crappy movie just because it looks and sounds good. So we have to kind of keep those people in mind when we recommend that they pick up a particular title. Me personally, I think I kind of fall somewhere in between. I can be forgiving. Can be forgiving of something that's like not phenomenal in terms of its storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
If it looks and sounds really good, because I can get through it. You know, I can put up with the, you know, the narrow story versus, you know, the well-rounded one. If it looks and sounds really good. And Morbius is one of those. It looks and sounds really good. The story isn't perfect, but that's okay. In terms of going back to the video, I also liked the scene, I don't know the timestamp, aboard the ship.
Mm-hmm. Towards the beginning.
With the steam.
Mm.
If you look at that scene, if you look at the gradations in the steam, the way that's resolved, it looks fantastic.
There's a depth to it, steam.
100%. Yeah, it almost looks three-dimensional.
Yeah.
As you know, the steam is kind of, you know, making its way either from the side or from the top angles. Yeah. You know, with the bad guys running around and trying to figure out what's happening and so forth. I don't want to give too much away, but that I thought...
There's bad guys, really, everybody.
Yeah, there's bad guys. Bad guys. And I got news. None of them make it. No.
Exactly.
Don't worry. Yeah, I'm not giving anything away. The bad guys don't make it. They're just the henchmen.
Morbius wins.
Yeah, Morbius wins. So that scene on the ship, from the point in the lab through that whole exchange, I thought looked really good.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a quick little
tangent. And sounded good too.
Yes. Quick little tangent on that HDR. You hit on something that I just talked about earlier this week with a listener. The next step in the evolution of home theater. Do you think that if we can get a deeper HDR, do you think that's leading towards a passive 3D? Because good HDR can give you that, like you just said about the steam, it's like, can give you that almost like 3D feel. Are we like years away from maybe that actually creating a depth field there that with the HDR, just to give us that even a better feel of 3D?
Couldn't tell you. It's one of those things where it would then, or could then be dependent on your display and how well your display is dialed in and different things. And everyone's visual acuity is different, where some of those things, those factors are taken out of the equation with active 3D because of the glasses and because of the way it's. So that's a question mark. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping. I got my fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed, buddy.
All right. The next scene that I wanted to talk about is, and this is at the end. It's echolocation, I call it. It's at 1 hour, 23 minutes, pretty much even. And there's an echo that he puts out over the city, right?
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Okay. Obviously, super obvious. It sounds awesome. He's looking for something. The right. bass is great. You get the boom. It's just insane. But here's, I want to see if you even heard this, but obviously as the scene starts to play, not obviously, but as the scene starts to play out, you'll hear like Michael whispering that he's here. So sure. you hear that nice little details and stuff. But then again, that heartbeat is going out, the boom, boom. Well, as they come, they look down, and I'll describe it as you're looking down at the top of a building, and it looks like a Rubik's Cube, right? Mm-hmm. And you see that Rubik's Cube pulsate, and there's a big boom, boom that comes off it. And it's a nice, deep bass heartbeat that you could feel, boom, boom. Did you hear the echo that came after it?
If I did at the time, I didn't make note of it. It's not something that stood out to me, so I don't remember.
It is subtle, but it is there, and it is amazing, because you'll get the boom, boom, and then right after it, you'll get it's almost like inaudible, but almost like you could feel it a little bit, but you'll get a boom, boom. As he gets it, and it's like boom, boom, and then a boom, boom. And I replayed it over and over. I was like, that was, because it's such a cool scene to see anyways. But then sure. I'm watching it again, and I'm like, wait a minute, there's a second one. There's an echo to the boom, boom afterwards. It was really, really cool. And it's like, those are the things I say all the time on my podcast. Like, why is that there? They don't have to put that in there. We would have been fine with, we would have been still amazed. But the reason I went back to the scene was the sound, right? The boom, boom. Like, that's so cool. But then they add in that little bit extra. And this is the stuff where I say, like, you listening at reference level kind of really fleshes that stuff out. Like, maybe if you're sure. listening down, you're not getting that full. Maybe you might be missing it entirely, depending on how low you're listening.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think that these mixes, at least the sound designers who understand, these mixes are designed to be played at near reference.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to extrapolate every little detail that's intended to be heard, like what you just talked about. And people, and we also have to understand too, that there are people who are listening to these mixes on sound bars.
Televisions.
And systems. Yeah. Not even so much televisions, but sound bars and systems that really aren't capable
right.
of reproducing the dynamics and having your system set up in such a way so that the imaging and the sound locations are where they're supposed to be at the time they're supposed to be there. So for people like us, where you're listening for those and you're capturing those details and you're able to experience them, it can make a big difference. That's why when I do a review, you know, and you post your review, people read your review, there's always going to be someone who has a different experience. That's why when I get people that say, well, I read so-and-so's review and he said the sound was not as good, or he said the sound was better than what you're describing. I say, well, every system's different. Every listener is different. Every ear mm-hmm. is different. What they're looking for is different. So I cannot attest to that. I can only tell you what I experienced here. And I think that this system is dialed in such a way that I think I'm able to capitalize on everything that's on the disc, that's in the track, that's intended to be heard.
Right. Yeah. And that's, I do the same thing. And that's why my entire thing is, and I think your reviews as well, they're all based on our experience. And right. you can't, and I've had people push back on my opinions as you have. And you're like, you can't argue with it. It's my opinion. It's my experience. I'm just giving you my experience. This is what I experienced.
Right.
And it's amazing to me that like you said, it's like, I'm doing a podcast about the experiences, about my experiences. And people are like, no, that didn't happen. What? like,
yeah.
you don't have, maybe yeah. it didn't happen for you, but this is what I'm getting. Right. So it is, but that's the fun of it. You know, all sure. everybody's theaters are different. I mean, I'm sure yours is different than mine. I have a feeling that they're in the same ballpark for, sure. for you know, for extrapolating the information. But yeah, it's, but that's, and again, I love that you stuck to your guns. I love that you were like, you're like, hey, I can't go all the way there with you, DJ, because you do, you have a credibility, you don't want to tell somebody you must buy this. I'm of that opinion because, in my opinion, my listeners, the people that listen to this podcast, they're the people that they want these scenes, the sights, the sounds, sure, and the scenes, you know? And sometimes, you know, like a Transformers movie or something, it's like, we'll let it slide because we're looking for the explosions. And that's what I like to give. So I appreciate that you stuck to your guns on that. But Ralph, you're safe here. People love the sights, sounds, and the scenes.
Thank you, man.
You're safe here. You don't worry. You don't, people, Ralph said over on Brightside Home Theater that this is a movie you must buy. You're like, oh, crap, Ralph can't say that. That's what you're worried about.
Hey, like I said, me personally, it's I'm the guy that's kind of in between there. I'm okay with, I can be forgiving of something that isn't fully rounded in terms of story if it looks and sounds great. But would I say that, I try to put in there usually in my final thoughts, if you're a popcorn entertainment kind of person, then I'm like, listen, because that's what popcorn entertainment is. Not so great story, but hey, I can, you know, it looks, sounds great, a lot of action. Then I'll usually say that genre fans, you're going to want to get on this one.
Yeah.
Everybody else, give it a rent kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
for that. So DJ, that's about as far as you're going to get me, buddy.
That's perfect. You actually, I give away boxes of popcorn for my favorite scenes. I rate them in boxes of popcorn. So you couldn't have nailed it any better. That's all you have to say. And even in your reviews, you could say, as far as boxes of popcorn go, you could be like, hey, you know, this, but it's like, I wouldn't buy it, but you know, I get it. You have way more to consider than I do. And I get that. And that's why I wanted to have you on, because I wanted to get a little bit of this pushback. I wanted to get, like, maybe, and you taught me something, that, you know, I'm looking at Morbius a little differently. Still love it. I still love the experience. I think I'm going to go watch it again.
I would never want to change your mind about it. Just providing a different bit of perspective.
Yep. But here's the thing. It's been a little while since I've given anything away. So I'm giving away two 4K versions of Morbius. Now,
outstanding.
The first two people, I have a question in mind. Do you have I like to give them a question that they have to either tweet or email me. The first two people to do it will win it. Do you have a particular question that we don't answer the question here, but... I have a halfway decent one, but do you have anything in mind?
You're talking about a question about the movie.
Nope. Is that what you're talking about? They haven't seen the movie. Some people might not have seen it. Not just anything in general, anything about your home theater system. That's my question. Anything that might have been that we talked about in the last podcast, something that they got to hunt or know about, you know, I want people to, you know, I only want real fans to win these things.
All right, so we're going to go deep on this one.
Okay, cool.
Because we're going to see who was paying attention during our last podcast. All right?
Yep. Uh-huh.
In our last podcast, I mentioned, we talked about the movie that I saw that got me into liking movies or home theater, et cetera, et cetera. Not that one.
Okay.
But we then followed up by directly talking about another movie that came out shortly after that.
Yes.
If they can name that one, then they're good to go.
Oh, Ralph, you nailed it. That's awesome. That is awesome. All right. The first, let's do two questions. The first person to answer that question, that way if somebody puts it out and then the next person goes, oh, me, blah, blah, blah. Now my question. Again, going back to the last podcast. Which Blu-ray player, 4K Blu-ray player, does Ralph prefer?
That's great.
Huh?
That's great.
Which one does he prefer to use? He has two. Not going to tell you what two they are, but that's pretty easy to guess. They're the two top Blu-ray, 4K Blu-ray players. Which one does he prefer to use? The first person to answer that question and the first person to answer the second movie we talked about that got Ralph going into home theater, into movies. Awesome. Awesome. That's, wow, you know how to play the game, Ralph. That's awesome. Thank you. And I honestly meant to, you know what's funny is I meant to bring that up to you before we started recording. And so that you would have something, and you nailed it right off the top of your head. I forgot to mention it. And once we started, I was like, oh no. But
I don't want to disappoint you, DJ.
You're on your game. Awesome. Ralph, you stuck to your guns. I really, really appreciate it. That's why I wanted you on here. You fair review. I love your review. Check that out. The link to his reviewer is in the show notes. Ralph, thank you so much for being on again. I know I'll force you. I'm going to force you again. See, I told you that last time we talked, you gave me your cell number and it's like, you're in trouble now, buddy.
You did tell me that. And it's a pleasure, man. This is the second time. I tried to cut back on the, you know, so but it was fun. Why. It's always fun. I don't know. It's one of those things, you know, it kind of pops out there every now and again. So
did you hear back the interviews and then you hear yourself say it and it bothers you or something?
Oh, it's brutal. I'm watching it. And I'm thinking, wow, I didn't realize how often I say, you know, but hey, it's one of those things. Some people have words like, mm-hmm. or whatever that they use. So, you know, is mine. So I'm working on it.
Yeah. I dare say this. I know how repetitive I am. Like, I'll be like, my listeners, you know, the people that listen to my podcast. I just said that earlier in the podcast. I'm like, and as I'm saying it, I'm like, you dumbass. I know what a listener is. But it's just, yeah. It's the way my brain works. And I'm trying to not be so repetitive, you know.
I didn't pick up on that.
I do all the time. I do all the time.
We're always more critical of ourselves.
Exactly. So now all my listeners are going to be like, there he goes again, being repetitive. But all right, Ralph, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Until next time. Later,
buddy. Anytime, buddy. Take care, DJ.
Thank you again to Ralph. Wow. Is he on his game or what? Coming up with that question off the cuff like that. That was great. Exactly what I was looking for. What a great guy. And I'm not kidding you. I mean, short notice, he's a busy guy. We crammed this into his schedule and I really appreciate him coming on like that. Because I thought, again, in my opinion, I think Morbius deserves it. I think the movie deserves it because I am about the sights, the sounds and the scenes. So, and I know if you're listening to this, you probably are too. So pay attention. You could win a copy if you don't want to go out and buy it yourself. Just answer one of those questions, be the first one, and you can have it for free. Just gonna, you know, we'll get in touch and I'll send you your copy. So, thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for playing along. And, this has just been so much fun. So thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for all of your support, whether it's on Patreon or Twitter or just sending me your questions and comments and messages of support. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have a great week, everybody. I'm not doing a show next Tuesday with a listener. I'm taking the weekend off because of Father's Day, and I actually have to travel for Father's Day. I did a USA Hockey thing that I do with Mass Hockey. Big meetings all weekend, and I won't be back. So I'm taking the weekend off. But I will be putting out a show. I'll be talking about some stuff. So I'll put out a show on Tuesday. The listeners will still take over. And I'll come up with something. So you'll hear me again on Tuesday. And who knows what I'll have next Friday. Who knows? But thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great weekend. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And go push play.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.